going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Yesterday, distressing news coming out as the news about Shedeur Sanders getting a speeding ticket. Speeding tickets, have you had one, Daryl? Just
a few. A
yes or no? Okay. I also have had a couple. I had two in one day.
I've had two within 6 months and had to go see a judge.
I got caught twice doing 41 miles an hour. I got two tickets in the same day for doing 41.
I was plus 14 and plus 17.
So people break the speed limit. However, Shedeur getting cited for going 101 miles per hour on Interstate 71. Okay, he's a young guy, Daryl. He has money. He's had money. He has expensive vehicles. He has fast vehicles. I get that. You get that. He doesn't need a lecture from us. We're not going to give him a lecture. What we do know is that that's dangerous. And it's not the way to endear yourself to your new team in the situation that he's in right now. First and foremost, and let's, without question, we all know there's no need to harp on it. Driving that quickly is dangerous, not only for yourself, but for others. And you know, you want to take yourself out, fine. Don't take anybody else with you. But slow down. Okay? Enough said. You don't drive 101 miles an hour. You just don't do it.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to throw stones at the same glass house I've lived in. I've never gone 100 miles an hour before. I've gotten 80. I've never gone 100.
Nope, neither have I.
I have been on the freeway with folks that I going 100 miles an hour as they flew by me.
Like the dude in the blue Audi sedan who drives on an interstate on the way to Cleveland every day.
So
and has blown the doors off of many people, including me.
Yeah. So
weaving in and out of traffic. If you're listening, slow down.
So I posted on X yesterday. There are two things that new Browns players and rookies should be made of in their orientation with the organization. And that is,
and he's in town right now for the rookie orientation program.
Don't speed on Interstate 71 in Strongsville.
Because it's been done before and you get caught.
Or I-90 in Westlake or 480 in North Olmsted. Because it, not only are you going to get caught, but it'll be on the news immediately. Just like what happened with Shador yesterday.
Don't speed on 77 through Brecksville.
They don't,
They're very good there.
They don't keep it quiet.
Police officers are always out.
I'm not going to sit here and, you know, give you some, you know, from the ivory tower speech about speeding or anything like that.
We all know you shouldn't do it.
100 miles an hour is excessive. I'll say this, Jeff. Football players in general, most of them are adrenaline junkies, okay? And you almost have to be to play that sport.
Good. Go down to mid-Ohio and rent a car.
Well, this is the point that I was going to make is because I'm not into the racing culture thing. Like, I don't watch, you know, Formula One, or I don't watch now. I'll watch Daytona. I'll watch the Indy 500. I'm as casual of a racing fan as you will find.
Sometimes you'll see NASCAR on our interstates, though.
Yes.
People drafting behind
you. So is there a place here where these guys can go and do this safely? Like, they can hop in a car and go around a track 120 miles an hour and just get that rush and get that out of there. Just, I mean, go ride a roller coaster at Cedar Point or something. Like, because I get it. Like, you need that release. You need that energy or whatever, that feeling of doing it. I totally understand that. But to your point, let's find a way to do it safely here. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, there are local speedways. I'm sure you could probably
I'm not going to lie. I would love, like, bucket list, honest to goodness, I would never do it in my automobile on a public highway, but bucket list, I would love to do 120 in a car driving.
Well, good luck to you.
I would love to get on a track behind the wheel and put the pedal to the metal and go one. So I get it, is the point that I'm trying to make, Jeff. I get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you put other people in danger when you do things like that. And you also put yourself in danger when you do things like that. And when you're in the spot that he's in right now as the number four quarterback, and things have been going so well, he's done a lot of great stuff in the community, talking to kids, you know what I'm saying? Like, he had been doing everything right off the field and even on the field and behind the scenes.
Which is not a surprise because that's everything we've heard about Shador. He's a good guy and is going to do what he's supposed to do.
Right.
We've had these before. Myles Garrett, numerous speeding violations. His accident in Sharon Township was not good. And apparently on record, top speed of 120 miles an hour for Myles. You don't do that on public
streets. I mean, he was actually very lucky to walk away from that accident.
Sure he was. LeBron James. On 71, don't get on 71 in speed. LeBron was clocked at the same speed as Shador, 101 miles an hour, back in 2007.
And remember what he said when he was asked about it?
Yeah, he said,
"I'd do it again."
I said, "All I did was speed. I paid the fine." That's not the point, you know. I mean, the point is this: okay, pay the fine. You can afford to pay the fine. That's great. You get points on your license. You can kill yourself. You can kill someone else. You could flip your car and bust yourself up to the point where you can never play a sport again.
Yeah.
I mean, just be smart, be safe.
I said, find a racetrack somewhere you can hop in a car and go round and round.
Driving 101 is not safe. So be smart, be safe. You mentioned, and you've gone there, you said, as the fourth quarterback, if you're the Browns organization, and you obviously have a history of guys who have been caught speeding at excessive speeds.
Should I go through the Brown Speed Demon Hall of Fame?
I don't think it's funny, but I do think for context purposes, yes. And no, I'm seriously.
I'm not trying to make light of the situation, but also at the same time, I'm not trying to build this up to more than what it is.
Well, it's he got a speeding ticket for excessive speed, really excessive speed. I mean, who hasn't driven 75, 80 miles an hour, if not a little bit more? But who drives 101? Not very many people. It's excessive. But for context, yes. Give me your list.
Well, we have Myles Garrett is...
he's at the top of the heap.
He's at the top of the list. Greg Little's in there.
Greg, Myles was clocked at 120. Yeah.
Deshaun got pulled over. Kareem Hunt got pulled over.
Was Deshaun going?
He was up by Sandusky when he got pulled over.
Wasn't going 100.
No, he was close. He was getting there. I think he was looking to go. I don't want to speak for him, but
we remember Kareem's dash cam video.
Yep.
Should have been in the Super Bowl.
Yep. Josh Gordon, multiple times pulled over.
Yeah. And my point for the context is this. How did the organization handle those? Because how should they handle this with Shador? I would think, and you tell me, I would think nothing more than a discussion needs to be had, like, hey, don't ruin what you have here. Don't ruin your body. Don't kill someone. You know, Henry Ruggs is hoping to play football again. He's up for parole in 13 months, 14 months. Good luck to you.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't bring back the family, as he said in court yesterday. Doesn't help the family. Their daughter's still gone. Just there's so much on the line for these guys.
And
anybody who does that on the road, but. You think the Browns should just have a conversation with Shador and leave it at that?
It's an unforced error. That's how I look at it, right? Okay. Self-inflicted wound. A big deal is going to be made of it because he's Shador Sanders. I mean, he was one of the top stories on ESPN because online mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And look, there's, and I think we're balancing. There's two schools of thought here. One is okay. 100 miles an hour is a little excessive. Let's not be doing that.
Miles got two tickets in 24 hours going 100 plus.
Yeah. But also at the same time, have you really driven a car without getting a speeding ticket at some point in your life?
Michael hasn't.
Big Red?
I have not.
Okay. Well, we're going to
give it time.
I'm knocking on wood right now. We don't want that in the ether here. We don't want to jinx you. I'm very superstitious about that.
My car does have a Michigan plate, and I am driving around in the state of Ohio, though. So yeah, it's probably just a matter of time.
So if the speed limit says 60, you do 60.
Go get them. So they should just talk to him.
Yeah, it's a conversation.
All right.
Be smart out there, kid. That's all. Don't do anything to hurt you that can hurt yourself. Don't do anything to potentially hurt anyone else.
I would think his
dad. You know, we know you're not trying to do that, but there is the possibility that can happen. Let's just be smart about things when you're behind the wheel.
I would think a conversation with his father would be more painful for Shador than having a conversation with the Browns. Maybe. Cool Ray's in Bedford. Hey, Cool Ray.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I'm going to be honest. I heard the story. I laughed at the story.
Can't laugh at 101, Cool Ray. That's not funny.
It's really not, but I'm going to say, like, when I drive my motorcycle, I'm doing way more than that. On the open road, like, if I don't see no traffic, I get it. I know I'm breaking the law.
Are you on one of those bullet bikes?
No. I have a 3-wheel. I'm a Cam Nam guy. I'm a Cam Man guy. So I'm going to be honest with you.
So you're one of those dudes that's flying by me when I'm on 71.
If it's a 3-wheeler, probably. But here's the thing, though. It's just the hypocrisy of a lot of things that I look at when it comes to that type of thing, because I'm quite sure you take your wife out to dinner, and the first thing they ask you is, do you want something to drink? And then you go, yes, and then you get behind the wheel of the car.
I get unsweetened iced tea.
But most people get them a drink, and then they get behind the wheel and drive home. If you're driving on 90, and you see people now, for some reason, they're going 3 lanes over and then getting off on the freeway instead of, you know, how we were taught to, you know, get into the lane and then get off. So now it's not even about the speeders. It's about the people that's distracted by other things in their car, on the phones and text messages and digging in their nose and doing all kinds of stupid stuff. So I get he shouldn't be doing that at that late of an hour because of who you are. But let's not try to, 2 weeks, you know, since he got here, we've been hopping and branding he's a 5th-round pick. So now we acting like he's the 1st-round pick.
No, we're not, Cool Ray. Cool Ray, thank you for the phone call.
Well, he is a 5th-round pick. That's kind of why we're harping on it.
Slow down, please. I like you, Cool Ray. Cool Ray is a phenomenal baker, by the way. So, Cool Ray, we need baked goods. You can't get yourself hurt.
Yeah, don't be spooking me on 71. I hate that. When I'm driving on 71 and those bikers are flying by me, scares me to you know what.
216-474-0092. What does this mean from a football standpoint for Shador Sanders? Anything? We're going to talk about it next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You said, nah, everybody was, we don't want them to be speeding.
I told you, but I don't love that it happened when it happened. Right?
12:30 at night. And
it's a little bit different. Like, rush hour, you couldn't even really do it during rush hour, right? But daytime, there's just less cars. There's less cars on the road during certain parts of the day. At night, there's less cars on the road, but it's dark. Yes. And unfortunately, you have a lot of, you can have questionable people coming from bars, coming from restaurants, had too many people staring at their phone. That's where the judgment part, where I think Kevin Stefanski's probably not thrilled today.
Well, let's bring in Mary Kay Cabot. She joins us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, as she does every Thursday. Mary Kay, you had an article that says hopefully it's a, his citation for 101 miles an hour is a huge wake-up call. Tell us why, Mary Kay.
Well, there's a number of reasons why I feel that way. And I think probably the first one is the fact that 100 miles an hour, which is 40 miles out over the speed limit at that time and place, is that's not just 10, 15, even 20, 40 miles an hour over the speed limit. That's pretty dangerous. And sure, maybe I sound like a get off my lawn type of person right now, but that's very significant in my mind, because we know that Myles Garrett learned a huge, huge lesson by going over the speed limit, losing control of his car, and really could have lost his life and could have killed his passenger had they not been wearing their seatbelts. So 40 miles over the speed limit at the time of morning or night, however you want to describe it, at 12:30 a.m. on a Tuesday, is just a very dangerous thing to do, first of all, for not just for you, but like you said, for whoever might possibly be in your path. So I think he's very, very lucky that he didn't hurt himself or it seemed as though he was with someone in another car that was also speeding. I'm trying to figure that whole thing out. But they could have hurt each other significantly or someone else. And I just thought it was interesting that it also happened on the same day. You've got Henry Ruggs wishing he could turn back the hands of time. And of course, Henry Ruggs, you can't make an apples to apples comparison here, because Henry Ruggs was driving drunk, and that's different. That's vastly, vastly different. Shador Sanders was not impaired while he was driving, but still, 100 miles an hour is 100 miles an hour. So that's the first thing, is just the dangerous aspect of it. And then the next thing is the fact that he's in rookie orientation. This did not happen in his hometown. This did not happen somewhere else. This happened when he was here on Cleveland Browns time. And they're watching everything these guys are doing on and off the field. This is someone that's embroiled in a four-way quarterback competition, and they're trying to see, can you handle everything that goes with being a starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns? So those are two of the reasons, and I just think that I think it is significant. I think it's something that the Browns are definitely going to have to address, and I think it's something that Shador is going to have to look at himself and ask him why at that moment in time would he make a decision like that.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the hotline. Does the team, we've had so many instances of players over the years, even rookies, having various infractions, some far more severe than others. Do we know anything about how the team treats something like this, if at all?
Well, they declined comment yesterday, and I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will address it. They would have to. Like I said, again, he's in rookie orientation. So this was basically, he was on the clock, not at that moment necessarily, but he was still here in a working Browns capacity. And it's just not a good look, if anything else. Not only is it not a good look, and it brings negative attention to the Cleveland Browns and to himself at a time when he doesn't need negative attention brought upon himself, but he was working. You know, he's still here working, and he's still here fighting for that Browns quarterback job. And he's been doing a really, really nice job in the competition. And I had just written a couple of days ago or over the weekend how well he had done in the last 2 weeks of this competition, to the point where he had earned more reps, he had earned more 11-on-11s, and he's still part of that starting conversation. And does this change all of that? Probably not, but it's definitely something that will need to be addressed.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the show on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. There's a forgotten quarterback in this competition, it seems. I mean, we've talked, boy, we had a big old Heyru with Kenny Pickett and his family member earlier this week and all that other stuff. And obviously, we know Joe Flacco very well. Dylan Gabriel hasn't been spoken about. Have you talked to any players? You don't need to name names, but have there been any players who have told you, or been any sources that have told you what the teammates think of Dylan Gabriel?
Well, that's interesting that you should say that, because teammates are being asked a lot about Shador Sanders, but they're not being asked a lot about Dylan Gabriel. And if they were asked a lot about Dylan Gabriel, I think you would hear some of the very same things that you're hearing about Shador, because both of those guys have done a really, really nice job in this competition. And there wasn't a humongous discernible difference in their level of ability or talent during the OTAs or during the mandatory minicamp. So Dylan Gabriel also did a really, really nice job. And there are so many things that the Browns really like about him. And he's still firmly in the mix in this competition. Now, I do think ultimately it will come down to either Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco. But you can't count Dylan out either, as you cannot count Shador out right now. Again, I think those two guys will probably they'll probably take their time with them a little bit and give them an opportunity to learn and grow in at least the first half of the season. But Dylan's done a really, really nice job. And one of the reasons why is because he has one of those computer-like brains with tremendous, tremendous processing speed. And that's the thing about him. That's sort of his superpower. That's what the Browns really love about him.
Mary Kay Cabot with us right now. There was a conversation on our station yesterday in the afternoon specifically about whether Shedeur Sanders is getting a legit shot here from the media, whether or not the media has actually been fair to the fifth round pick. Mary Kay, you're in the media. You're covering Shedeur. I feel like you have been nothing but fair. And in fact, you know, talking glowingly at times about Shedeur. So do you think that is off base, or have you seen maybe some of your colleagues, some of your rivals in the media? Have you seen any of this?
No, I don't think so. I think we've all been very, very fair about Shedeur, about all of these guys, really, for the most part. I don't think that that anyone's been negative about Shedeur. I think what I've tried to be is very realistic about Shedeur and paint the picture the way people need to see the picture, and that is he's a fourth-round pick. I mean, he's a fourth-team quarterback right now. Fifth-round pick, obviously. But he's a fourth-team quarterback right now who has not gotten any reps with the first-team offense. Now, that will change when they get into training camp because now he's earned some of those reps through a really, really good performance from, let's say, from the snap to the end of the play. He has got great accuracy, nice touch on the ball, great ball placement, all of those kinds of things. The thing that they're working on, that the Browns have been working on with Shedeur, is bringing him up to speed in the early part of the play, and that is the pre-snap stuff. And it doesn't mean he's not going to get it fast because he's working really, really hard, and he's got a very high football acumen. But he hasn't had to do some of these things before. And even when we asked Tommy Rees about calling the plays and doing all the things that you have to do pre-snap, he said it's a lot harder than you think. And I think that's what the issue has been and why the Browns have sometimes worked with him over on a separate field or made sure that he's doing what he needs to do to get that play called and to get the whatever else that they're doing with them right now pre-snap. Now, they're not doing everything that they're going to have to do pre-snap right now in terms of sliding protections and calling the motions and getting everything straight, but they have to do a lot. And they have to know the terminology and all that stuff. So that's the stuff where he had to sort of catch up or get up to speed. But he's coming up that learning curve very, very quickly. And I think I've just tried to paint the right picture here or portray it accurately instead of just really looking from snap to end of play, which he has excelled at. So I think people need to know the truth of what is going on. You can't really necessarily make these bold, sweeping proclamations right now about the fact that, you know, he looks better than anybody else in camp and he's going to be the day one starter. Right now, I think that's a bit of a long shot that he's going to be the day one starter. Doesn't mean he can't do it, but he would be coming from behind.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the show. Mary Kay, I want to ask you this. I asked John Greco this. I've espoused my opinion on it. Is Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski this year, are they a package deal?
I'm going to say no. I don't think they're a package deal. I don't think they're a package deal, but I also don't think they're in any kind of trouble. So I don't even think it's a conversation that necessarily needs to be had, because when we talked to Jimmy at the owners' meetings, he almost gave them a pass for this year based on the fact that they are still trying to figure out who their quarterback is. So I don't think they're evaluating them in terms of make or break type of season. I think they're looking at this a little bit more globally, like they've got these two first round picks next year. If they don't find their quarterback of the future in this bunch, they'll go out and try to get him next year.
Well, Mary Kay, so are they good no matter what then this year? Because I don't think they should start the season on the hot seat or anything like that. I don't think that that's how a proper team should think. But at the end of the year, you don't think about 6 years together and everything there and whether or not we trust each other or trust everybody to move forward. And maybe if it doesn't go well, find the next quarterback and coach him up properly.
Well, I mean, you can never guarantee anything. But like I said, I think the fact that everyone in the organization knows that there is at least one eye peeking at next year and this quarterback class to find that guy. I don't think that they are going to be under extreme pressure to win big this year in the event that they don't have their quarterback.
So when do we judge them on wins, a pro team? When do we judge a pro franchise on winning? Because if I can't, I mean, it's been 6 years, and I understand, like, there's definitely reasonable excuses for both Andrew and Kevin if we want to break it down. But at some point, you know, fans got to throw up their hands and go, okay, well, if I bring in a rookie, and then what, do I expect that rookie to win big that first year when we're just getting out from under Deshaun Watson's massive contract, and we know we have other guys who are changing in there, like, is it putting too much on a rookie, and then am I putting him behind the eight ball if after the 2026 season we are moving on from Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, the guys who drafted that young man?
Well, how many teams can you point to, or how many coaches can you point to where they have won consistently and kept their job over a long period of time without a good starting quarterback? Maybe there are a few, but for the most part, the coaches who succeed and keep their jobs have a good quarterback to go along with that. So I think that's the name of the game for the Browns. I think they recognize that the Deshaun Watson experiment did not go well for them, obviously, and that they're looking for their next guy. And I just don't think that this year with this group of four quarterbacks that they're that they have great, great expectations to go super far into the playoffs.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, I tried to do the old AI overview of it last night,
I didn't
and I just got, then I went to a Reddit overview, and then I was like, I mean, this just isn't great.
Yeah, I didn't care enough.
There's no way to feel good about this story anyways.
Shador, I thought, had a chance to get out of the ticket, and clearly he displayed some sort of card or some sort of something at one point, and the guy was like, I already wrote the ticket. Like, it's too late. I could have helped you out beforehand.
By the way, why is that? If you write the ticket, like, it's just a piece of paper. I never understood that, where they're like, hey, sorry.
I think there's got to be an accounting, right? Like, I'm just guessing. If any cops, I had a cop slide in my DMs yesterday, by the way, and tell me what a big non-deal this whole thing was.
Yes.
If he wants to slide back into my DMs and tell me why, once you write it, you have to actually, like, deliver it. But I would imagine it would work on, like, like they have a number of, like, 001, 002, 003, and they got to account for each one of those at the end of the day. I would think.
It's not like a check. You can just be like, void it.
Yeah, I don't think it works that way.
I was mistaken.
I would imagine, like, maybe you could, but then it would take, like, just a bunch of paperwork to be like, what happened to 003? And they don't want to do that. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to do that either.
But, all right. So this story just continues to get dumber and dumber to me. In terms of the reaction to it.
Cop definitely didn't know Shador.
If your reaction was, this just doesn't mean anything to me. Like, again, it can be like a serious thing. Reckless speeding could be a serious thing. It is. People can get hurt. If you do this repeatedly, it gives a greater chance of, while also being like, yeah, it's not a reflection of Shador's character. Like, that's where I'm at. But, like, the fact that now we've uncovered a second ticket, and that Shador failed to appear in court, which I've done for a ticket before, and then I paid an extra $100 for it because I just didn't realize you had to show up for it, and I didn't pay it quick enough. But like, he didn't show up.
Yeah, I don't think Shador's sweating the extra $100 fine that it ends up being.
But like between the second ticket, which people are now like ascribing an extra meaning to, he failed to appear. I don't know if you've ever been to court. The judge calls, because the time I actually did go to court, the judge calls like 100 names, like 12 of them show up. When it comes to like simple traffic offenses, that dude gets sick of being like, Gary Rogers, case 101111. No, Gary. He becomes the teacher from Ferris Bueller. Like Bueller, Bueller, Bueller. So like, it's just between this and the body cam footage, I'm like, guys. I mean, I'm all
Shador.
For.
He had the classic line of, I didn't know how fast I was going. I didn't know I was going that fast. Officer was kind of a jerk when he walked up to him, too, by the way. 101? That was his opening line? 101? I love that.
But didn't Shador say, I thought I was 92 or something like that?
No, the woman that he was driving, I think so what I gathered was there was somebody else he was driving alongside with, and he's like, he clocked the woman at 92. That was Shador's friend, apparently. And he's like, I'll be nice, I'll let her off the hook, and I'll let her, you know, whatever, as if he was going to go back and find her or something. He's like, I'll let her go, but I got to write you this ticket now. It was a weird back and forth. You can't even really hear Shador that well.
Yeah.
For being honest about it, you can't. But it was weird because the cop definitely had no idea who Shador Sanders was.
That's commendable. You don't know who the cop is. That's commendable.
But then once he tried to
know who Shador is.
So once he tried to offer him the whatever get out of jail free card that he had and was trying to like present to him, and it was already too late because the ticket.
I don't, was it like a Quiznos gift card?
I as far as I know, no. You could tell.
You can get double meat, kid.
My theory on this. This is a theory, and only a theory, is that the Browns, when he got here, gave him some sort of like ticket or something from some head of chief staff, somebody important, and was like, if you get in trouble, present this first, and then this will help you.
Why did he
wait too long to present what he was supposed to present, and then the ticket was already written, and it was what it was.
Why do these things exist?
The get out of jail free cards?
Yeah, why would, but like normal people can't get them.
Yeah, you can.
Where?
You can't. Growing up, there was a, I had a couple friends' dads that would present, like, they would show me these get out of jail free cards. They didn't do anything incredible, but like, there's certain counties, certain cities that'll offer get out of jail free cards if you do, sometimes it's just donating enough money, for being honest about it. Like, but other times, like, if you do, I'm trying to think of like the barrier of entry here, but like, it's a thing. It's a thing you can get.
How do I get them?
You'll probably just start going to like police balls and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe, you know,
okay, let's say I don't want to do that.
Be a good member of the community. Maybe.
And let's
say
I don't have a lot of money.
Yeah, then you're out.
Is there a county? I live in Medina County. No, I represent Medina County very well, by the way.
This is rich people perks of the highest order.
Okay. I'm rich adjacent.
Or your famous people perk of the highest order.
I'm rich adjacent. When I say rich adjacent, that means I'm still poor. I am polishing something there. But my point is like, we are local celebrities.
Yeah.
And we are local dignitaries.
You got out of tickets using that.
That was different.
What? You got out of
that? That was, I know who you are. Hey, just slow down, champ. And by the way,
it was for you. He knew who you were. He didn't know who Shador Sanders was.
It was 10 miles an hour over. All right, it wasn't 30.
Do you think you can go 30? Or do you think maybe you have to be a higher up of the Cleveland famous list in order to get there?
I just think it's wild that there's just a card. You can be like, hey, there is a dead body in the trunk. Here's a card.
Well, I don't think it goes all the way to dead bodies, but it definitely works. It's not like.
But what does it work on? Now I got to know about this whole damn thing.
You ever seen the Gerard Carmichael bit where he's like, I got enough money. I can slap you in the face, but like a backhand, not a front hand, but like a backhand slap, and then be able to walk away with no problems.
Okay, so like do I get one free slap a year? Is it something like that?
Nick is discovering that rich people get away with a lot more than maybe he realizes.
I know, but I just didn't know you could just hand somebody a card and be like, it's like an Uno reverse card.
The officer in the video says, where'd you get this? Was it, I think the name he says is, was it Boykin? I don't know who Boykin is. But like clearly that like it matters in some context. And I do believe, I have no idea if the Browns gave this term or not, but I would imagine someone with the Browns is like, if you get in trouble, present this, and then this will help you get out of trouble, and then we won't have to deal with any of this nonsense. You know how much, like the traffic ticket in Medina that was unearthed now, you know how much easier this would be if the Browns just never had to deal with this now?
They mean never have to deal with it.
They'd love to not have this be in any sort of light or anyone ever find out about it.
But why?
So
why
Shador could have just presented the ticket like he was supposed to, his little get out of jail free card, and then the Browns would have found out about it maybe, but like nobody else would have. That's what they want.
I just think excessive speeding matters more for athletes than it does for normal people, and I don't get it. Like if you came in tomorrow and were like, I got popped doing 101 and a 60, I'd be like, ah, that's a hell of a ticket you're about to pay. But I wouldn't be like, guys, you hear about Jonathan? Like, I just wouldn't have to come down and be like,
you never
hey,
would. Nick, you never would.
Don't you speed that way again, big feller.
Now, if you like drink and drive and get pulled over, that costs people their jobs.
Yeah, not football like players, but it does cost us our jobs.
But like that would get back. Like, there are definitely lines of things that you can get away with and not get away with. I'm with you on this, though. 100%. I can't believe how far people are taking this to decision-making and everything else. Like,
they got two tickets. Who the heck gets two tickets?
I was thinking about, remember when Lamar Jackson, months later, he ended up winning league MVP. But it was before that season. He got caught. It was 105 miles per hour. And he put it out on a TikTok video. Maybe it was Instagram at the time. And he put it out and it was like, it showed him going 105. And the Ravens were like, hey, Lamar, maybe don't post those videos.
All right.
Maybe
that's
don't do
dumber.
That.
That's dumber than just speeding. Telling everyone you're speeding.
He ran it on himself. Yeah, he was videotaped.
That's just an IQ test.
And he put it out there, and he was going 105 miles per hour. And I don't remember anybody being like, we're out of the Lamar Jackson business, by the way. I don't remember a single person being like, bad decision-making, can't trust him, done with him as a quarterback, and then he went on to win league MVP.
Liam saying, anyone in Medina County can claim they are rich adjacent.
By your standards, anyone can claim rich adjacent, though, right?
Yep. I'm on my way. Just a couple million short. All in one saying, I have an FOP card, a ticket, and I'm getting pulled over. It couldn't be being a Buckeye also. I don't know what that last part means.
By the way, we got a DM from someone. I'm not going to name his name on here, but he says the ticket can be voided by the chief. He just has to sign off on it. But here's the important part, Nick. He says, I'll give you guys courtesy cards also.
Ooh!
So we might have just gotten ourselves some courtesy cards.
So what is a courtesy card?
I think it works like a get out of jail free card.
And then do they go, no? Is it like a yes or no? Or do they, but once you show it, like they're like, oh man, I can't do anything about this.
I'm going to have to
moonwalk back to my cruiser.
This is one hand washing another is what this is, right? Oh. So like one cop has to take care of another cop. So like if you were to deny our cards that we got from, a fellow friend, then I mean, that just opens up a Pandora's box that nobody wants. You would honor that card.
Everyone knows Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin are friends of the police. All right. You down with FOP? Yeah, you know me. That's what we say.
My grandpa was a Chicago police officer.
Oh, man. We just had the perfect call for this, and I wasted too much time.
Stories about having like bullets shot at him. He made up a lot of stories, though. I don't know about that. He was a Marine and a Chicago police officer, so he was a badass.
But you thought he was lying a little bit?
I don't know, man. Sometimes he'd tell me about these shootouts he would get into, like in alleys and stuff like that.
It was Chicago.
I was like 8 or 9 and like, wow, Grandpa.
Did he like act him out? He's like in, oh my God, The Other Guys, where Bobby Cannavale's like, my partner throws down the gun. He says, even the odds.
Yeah, I don't think that happened.
No,
not to that extreme. No.
So I popped the first one. I'm just happy we're getting a courtesy card.
Yeah, I got to connect here with that's nice. Does he send him to the station? Can you send him to the station?
We'll give you the address. Dave in Concord, what can you tell us about get out of jail free cards?
Yeah, it sounds like you guys were talking about a little bit here, but I have one. Not that I'm some big, you know, rich guy like you guys were saying or anything like that.
Are you also rich adjacent?
I'm rich, maybe. No, not even close. That's okay. Funny, but no, not.
I'm rich with love, Dave.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm at too. No, so I actually have a relative who was a former police officer, and he would hand them out once a year to. I have a larger family, the cousins, you know, his children and everything. And it's, I guess, a get out of jail free card if you're doing, I don't know, 75 and a 65. I fortunately never had to use one of these. I have a giant stack of them. But you hand them over, it's like a courtesy card. And if the officer, you know, takes it and says, okay, go on, you know, your way, that's fine. But sometimes they kind of, from what I understand, they'll kind of throw them back in your face and say, this doesn't mean anything to me either. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you said that's bad courtesy.
Yeah, that's a no courtesy card.
I would say
it's no courtesy card.
You're violating the point of the card. Yeah.
I suppose it depends on where you're handing them over. But I just want I have them. You guys are talking about it. I just thought I'd shed some light on that.
We appreciate you. See, this is where, so my grandpa Casey, so my biological father, his dad, my grandpa Casey, who passed away when I was 14, he was the police chief or something of Seville.
Mm-hmm.
I live right down the road. I feel like, isn't this like, what's the Rob Gronkowski, your grandpa was in the military, and so then he went to this bureau, the federal.
The USAA.
USAA, yeah.
USAA.
I think I'm owed a couple of these through my grandpa Casey. You know, I just walk into the Seville Police Department and be like, I am Casey Munyon's grandson. I demand courtesy cards. You think that would play at all?
I mean, is there like a statue of your grandpa outside of the building or no?
There's probably a picture of it on the wall.
Well, that's good enough. Point to the picture.
Yeah.
Because the worst thing is hopefully you walk in there, picture. You demand a courtesy card, and they're like, who?
Yeah.
And then you get, and your grandpa's legacy just didn't hit.
I will say, half of the police force in Medina County was at his funeral in 1999. There's a couple of those old boys still
alive.
Why don't
we see how many courtesy cards we can actually collect here? I got a couple coming our way via DM.
Can you stack them?
Anyone else want to send them our way? Send them to the Odyssey building, Jonathan Peterlin, Nick Wilson. You can highlight it and just say, get out of jail free card.
Is this like
Uno? Let's get as many as we can.
Where if you get one draw two and the next person can put another draw two on, I can get caught going 140 and I just stack three get out of jail free cards. Right.
This should be about three or four. You're pulling them out like they're C notes.
You know what?
Like
I'm going to give you a fourth one just because I want to make sure that this covers all of it.
Then you just tell the officer, we're good here, right? We're good?
Yeah. All right.
Good?
Okay. All right. Hey, how's the family? All right. I'm going to go. I'll see you later. 216-474.
Got to do it before you write the ticket. That's where Shador went wrong.
Right out of the gate.
Out of
you
the
have
gate.
The four that's tickets ready.
That's what the cop
ready.
Basically told us. You have to do it right away.
Also, there might be a kilo in the trunk. Here's a fifth ticket. And you can take the Bam Bam if you want it. See, that's generous. You're offering five tickets.
You're snitching on yourself.
Oh, no. It's honesty. Just honesty between friends. You're being courteous by taking these cards. I'm being courteous by not lying.
You always are that guy. You're very courteous with the Bam Bam.
That's what they always say.
That's what they say about you.
I think that's Lima. The Slippery Wizard strikes again in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Pius Live Twitter actions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. EA on Twitter. Guys, this is freaking insane. How can these guys keep getting pass after pass? They had a legitimate starting quarterback, and they traded him for peanuts. And he threw for 41 touchdowns. This has to be the last year. That cannot be a part of the rebuild. It would seem, again, you went from, I don't like when you go from one extreme to another. Because then it'll sound like it's almost like Rasputin almost. And I know I've said that before about you-know-who out there in San Diego. But I'm thinking, I don't like firing guys, but I also want them to have success. And not just wait around for something that isn't working or doesn't seem to be working. So it's a very weird needle to thread because I don't want them to start the season on the hot seat. I think it's a waste of time, waste of everybody's energy. If you're in charge of the Browns and you think you're going to start a guy in the season on the hot seat, just fire him in the offseason. You should have just fired him over the winter. If you're going to next season, go, well, they got to start off so-and-so, or their ass is getting fired, then just fire the guy.
Yeah, Kenny, I agree with you there. I think that would make sense. But I don't think as many coaches are on the hot seat as the Vegas sports books say, or as we say, or the fans say. That doesn't mean that owners can't change their mind, because we know there's like 10 coaches who could get fired every year. I do not think their ownership groups come into seasons thinking, this might be the year if we don't get off to a good start. I think that's sports talk fodder for us. But then when it happens and the owners have to be there, they have to be on these calls with all of their executives, and then they see the numbers, they see the fan engagement, they see merchandise sales, they see all of that stuff. And then I think, you know, Jimmy's there more than most now, because this is Jimmy. This is what he's doing every day. He doesn't have Pilot Flying J anymore. Mm-hmm. You see him. He's at minicamp.
This is his wife, yeah.
Not every. You know how many owners are at minicamp? It's a very small percentage. And he's there, and he's taking inventory of all of it. Now, you could argue, maybe, is that a good thing or a bad thing for Kevin Stefanski? I don't know. But I will tell you this. If right now, if you were to ask Jimmy Haslam and have him be truthful, I think he would tell you he has the utmost respect and he has trust in his coach and his GM, despite 3-14.
Because you don't.
But that can also change drastically halfway through the year.
Because we had to learn a lesson years ago. You and I, maybe, is where you don't fire guys because you're mad at them. I can't just willy nilly fire people because I'm mad at them. I know fans can, and they try to all the time. But I have to make a decision. Yes, I have to make a decision based on whether or not I think that they're going to be the best person to lead my franchise in multiple aspects and multiple jobs over a period of time. Because I don't want to, it's not my goal to have to fire somebody. So if you're bringing him back, yeah, and I've said it before, like, he has to be the big one. It would mean more to me if they were guaranteed 2025 and 2026. But also, a lot of 2025 is going to play in to how I feel about 2026. Because as of right now, like, Shador and Dylan, I'd like to give them a chance. More than likely, as of right now, you're drafting a quarterback in the first round next year. Well, there's got to be something that tells me that one of them is the right guy, or both of them are the right people. Not the quarterbacks. I'm talking about head coach, general manager, which means the entire front office team and the entire coaching staff, for that matter, because they're in charge of both of those things. Something has to tell me. Like, you could win 7 games this year, which is more than what Vegas has yet, and I think more than what a lot of Browns fans would have yet. You could win 7 games, and I could look you dead in the eye and go, Kevin is safe. And you're still drafting a quarterback next year. Because I could look at it and go, hey, Shador's fine, but he's not. I would not let him start over other guys in the NFL. Or I would not let him start instead of these guys coming out of the draft. Same thing with Dylan Gabriel. But Kevin worked with him, and you can tell the offense is taking care of him as best they can. We just need an upgrade at the position to go younger. And I can look at myself in the mirror and say, should I keep Andrew Berry in charge to find that young guy? That's where there could be a split. I do not think that they are a package deal. A lot of people believe that they are attached at the hip. I think that both would be evaluated separately if I were the owner of the Cleveland Browns. I don't want to turn them against each other. I know that they work well with each other. They're thought partners, if you will. But I also got to know, hey, I could look at the end of this season and go, man, Kevin's got a good grip on this. You know, we've made mistakes here and there. Kevin's got a good grip on this. I want him to be in charge of whoever we take or whatever we do, and that's it. I could look at this and go, hey, these players are really, really good. What the hell's Kevin doing? I could also see it and say, hey, these players are really, really good. They won 7 games. They're young. We had things not bounce our way. We had injuries wherever. I don't know how the season's going to play out, but certain draft picks played very, very well, and say, both these guys need to stay.
But you asked me
there's so many different outcomes. I just don't want to start the season where they're both on the hot seat.
Yeah. You asked me if they're a tandem deal, though, in the end. I still think, you know, obviously Stefanski, I think, would go first. If things went off the rails, if we're another bad season, if it looked anything like last year. But then I do think Barry would be out at the end of the year. I do. I think there would be a total reboot. Might not be at the exact same time,
yeah,
because it rarely ever is. But I do think it would mean, I shouldn't say house cleaning, because they could always go with somebody under Andrew Barry afterwards.
Done that before.
And that would mean scouts stay. That would mean, but you know, if you weren't happy with the drafts, then would you really want the scouts to stay? So it's always that balance.
Yeah, you always play with that. But again, who's the one who makes the decision in the end? There's definitely people who've worked under general managers who have not been great at being general managers. There's definitely guys, really good scouts, really good personnel people who have worked under guys who just weren't as good as they were. And they ended up being better at their jobs than their predecessors were for it. So you have to take that into account. But like Dale hits it out of the park. He says, Ken, you're right, LOL. Brian Daboll starts the season on the hot seat, and he's going to get fired. And he's got a rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You traded back into the first round to go after a quarterback in a class that we didn't think it was a really great class. And he's right. Brian Daboll starts the season on the hot seat. So in the a guy who needs to develop like Jackson Dart, I'm going to fire his head coach and offensive mind halfway through the year and then expect that he's just going to be able to raise the tide and lift this boat up, that him and Joe Shane will be out of a job too. Pay attention to the Giants. That's asinine. That is dumb. That's almost what we did with Baker Mayfield. Baker nearly got himself out of it. Then we had 2021, and we've had everything since, where Baker's turned out to be a pretty fine quarterback down there in Tampa Bay. But we've done that. We've beaten that horse to death a million times over to where it actually came back to life. Pyomai rides again. Pay attention to the Giants this year with this team. If we're paying attention to ourselves, look at what they're doing. If Brian Daboll does a good job with Jackson Dart, maybe Jackson Dart takes off, that's fine. I don't know if I really believe it, since all they have done throughout the season. Once OTA started, they kind of were quiet. But, man, leading up to it, it was nothing but why they didn't take Shedeur Sanders instead of why they took Jackson Dart. I pay close attention to the Giants. It was ridiculous to me. And if they fire Brian Daboll a month into the season or halfway through the season, buddy, you're setting your guy from behind. And if he were a number one overall pick, I could try to say that that's what comes with the territory, because you're not being taken by a great organization. They went back into the first round. They got you. You're at the back end of it. We knew that it might be overdrafting city anyway, because with all these guys, including Dylan Gabriel, for crying out loud, it was just that type of class with QBs. You're setting these guys up for failure. You know what you're really doing? You're setting these guys up for failure with your organization, and then they get a little bit of time to air out, and then they go to another organization. They end up having some success, and people are blaming you, where why couldn't you get the best out of them? Hello, we went right through it with you-know-who down there in Tampa Bay. It's gone on with Sam Darnold. It's gone on with Geno Smith. Hell, in Cleveland, we're hoping it's going to go on with Kenny Pickett. You don't want to be a part of that. So as distrusting as we are about the head coach and general manager, Jimmy has to think completely differently from that. There's a lot of opinions out there, and a lot of them are good, solid arguments about why you don't trust these guys. I totally respect it. You're tired of losing, and what you're really tired of doing is getting the excuses for losing. Why it didn't go our way. Because you want to win. It's pro sports. They're paid to win. At some point, you have to judge them on winning. It's insane not to be able to do that. But as we start the season, my owner of that football team cannot have firing guys in his mind. He cannot have firing Kevin Stefanski or Andrew Berry or any one of their people around them in his mind. If that's a thought, we're going to head down a real bad path. Grin it, bear it, no matter what you have to do. If you start to feel throughout the season they've lost touch, then fine. But damn it, I cannot be doing this and thinking that these guys start on the hot seat. Because if they start on the hot seat, then you're already thinking about firing them, then they're already fired. And you'll find reasons. We do this in breakups all the time. Think about your old relationships you were in. You knew that this thing was going south. You start to try to find fault with people, why you're going to go away from them. You do it. And you will do that if you own the football team with a head coach you're thinking about firing. Coming up in less than 5 minutes. Should we make a bigger deal about Shedeur Sanders speeding? Mary Kay seemed pretty passionate about that. Should I do that? Should you do that, Tone? And are the Browns trying to stifle Shedeur? Ken Carman, Anthony Lyman, take us with you to work in the free Odyssey app.
Everybody around us gets an F today. All right, Corrali, we already gave him his comeuppance there.
Yeah.
In the break.
Jax has done good.
No. Until just moments ago.
We messed up the first segment, though.
Where I went to walk through the door here to tell Matt Corrali that it is Stuart Sink and not Stuart Kink.
Yeah.
Just to make sure we didn't get, and a kink shaming out there.
That's right. Don't want to kink shame.
And so I have a clear shot at the door. And then Jack, seeing me, moves another foot to the left.
I was standing right in front of the door.
You were not standing right in front of the door. No, you were not. I understand that I am a very, very large man. That being said,
Was it as obnoxious as when you walk down the hallway and I take my whole entire body and move it up against the side of the wall?
It was so much more offensive because we've turned that into a bit.
Okay.
Jax literally was like, I don't think he's going to fit through 92% of the door.
Right in front of the door, no?
You were in like 5% of the way of the door.
Maybe
there was
right
95%
now, though,
of the area available for 100% of me.
He heard you undressing Corrali in between the break there multiple times. Obviously, you had to talk about the 5 o'clock segment and then the sink kink thing. And maybe he's like, this is the rampage is on.
Do you think?
Like Nick's on one. I don't want to be in the pathway. Anyone in the pathway is going to get lit up today.
Do you think Stuart Sink would be a more successful golfer if his name was Stuart Kink? Do you think he'd have like
he
one
was really successful? He was a really good golfer.
Would he have like another major if he was Stuart Kink? Do you think he would dress like a pimp? Do you think he'd dress like Huggy Bear?
I just don't know how you got kink out of it. Like Sink's not natural because it's not S, it's with the C.
I think that's why. C sound, K sound, very similar. Matt Corrali, he's very comfortable saying K's.
How do you go to the update so confidently with names without looking them up is what I want to know.
That was half of my career as an update anchor.
Why? Why? It's all right there.
Because I was bad at the job.
It's all right there.
But I did know it's Rafael Devers, and I do know that it's Scott Service. So I at least had those names down.
Yeah, you got the baseball names down.
Now, now that we've done doing whatever the hell that was, Mary Kay Cabot, as we have, we're actually going to play audio of Mary Kay and not a question that Mary Kay was asked.
It almost felt like we were being pranked in the 5 at 5 in the lead. Hey, it almost felt like we were being pranked.
He landed the plane with the next two clips. It was just the first one of the lack of script. But Mary Kay was on with the Morning Boys today. And she was asked, we talked about this yesterday, I think, the Morning Boys talking about today. She was asked about whether Barry and Stefanski are a package deal anymore. And I think this question, or this answer rather, is interesting for a series of reasons.
I don't think they're a package deal, but I also don't think they're in any kind of trouble. So I don't even think it's a conversation that necessarily needs to be had, because when we talked to Jimmy at the owners' meetings, he almost gave them a pass for this year based on the fact that they are still trying to figure out who their quarterback is. So I don't think they're evaluating them in terms of make or break type of season. I think they're looking at this a little bit more globally.
So I think it's the first time I've heard any local Cleveland reporter say they're not a package deal.
Yeah, what I thought was interesting is the idea that she's taking a lot into Jimmy Haslam's words there, by the way. Mm. And maybe that's fair, maybe that's fine. You can only take people at their word at some point. I just refuse to take Jimmy Haslam at his word at all.
I just think the timing of the word probably neutralized it a little bit. Because I think, like, he said it at the March meetings, and I think he means it. But, guys,
he might.
It doesn't.
At
well,
the time.
Yeah, but I'm sure there are statute of limitations on that. And I'm sure that there are things that can happen. I think what you and I have done, which is say, hey, this season doesn't look like it's shaping up to be great. It looks like it actually could shape up to be really disastrous from a win-loss perspective. And they're already coming off a 3-14 season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I understand. I wouldn't have done it. Vrabel was in the building. And honestly, if Vrabel wasn't in the building, I probably wouldn't have called for Kevin Stefanski to be fired last year. But Vrabel was in the building, and Mike Vrabel is everything Kevin Stefanski is not, and maybe vice versa. Mike is a leader. Mike is a tough ass. And those are the kind of coaches that when it's genuine, because there are a lot of coaches like that are fake, and it annoys the crap out of me.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's genuine, when you are a legitimate guy's guy, a man's man, a leader of men, and you know ball, I think those make really damn good coaches. So if Mike hadn't been here and getting ready to go off to New England, maybe I wouldn't have felt the same way. At the same point, you went 3-14. And last year, you went into the season talking about the playoffs, talking about players on that team saying, we think we can go far and win a championship with this team.
That's the most confusing part about last year, Nick, is how they all really genuinely believed that they were a Super Bowl team.
And then they went 3-14.
It's really hard to go 3-14, even if you're trying to go 3-14. It's incredibly hard to go 3-14 when you're trying and you think you have a great roster built.
And so I can understand to some degree, it wasn't his offense. They made changes. Deshaun no-showed. Jameis Winston turned out to be really good at throwing the ball to the other team. Who could have ever seen that happen? And he's a bit of a weirdo.
Weird things stand out. You had the second best defense in the NFL 2 years ago. Last year, it was 25th as far as DVOA. You only, on the defensive side, Nick, do you realize they only had 4 interceptions all year?
That sounds about right. Yeah.
That's bonkers.
Well, especially it's bonkers because they played out on the field.
Well, even to have Denzel Ward, Greg Newsome, MJ Emerson, all those guys in that secondary and everything, to have 4 interceptions all season?
How many forced fumbles? I don't know why I'm asking you that specific stat on.
How many forced fumbles? I don't have the whole. I have
how
a lot of it memorized
passes
in my head.
Do they have?
I have a lot of it memorized in my head.
PBUs?
Not that.
No.
Yeah. You're minus 22 in that in the turnover differential last year. So, that's another one we have memorized to the old brain.
I think it makes a lot of sense that on June 19th, you would say, well, 3 months ago, Jimmy Haslam, same offseason, no games played. Jimmy Haslam basically gave these guys a pass, and it's not just for 3-14. Because I think this is where carrying it forward, it has to matter. It's not just 3-14. These are the guys that originated the Deshaun Watson contract and trade. Now, because that's what's funny to me. The contract shouldn't bug me. Guys, that's what he was worth to a team in desperate need of trading for a quarterback because they pissed the old one off and he wasn't coming back, or at least in their opinion, he wasn't coming back. To me, it's who germinated the trade. And who talked everybody else into the trade? It was Stefanski and it was Barry. And that has been wildly reported at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't just get a pass last year for going 3-14. You got a pass for 2 of the 3 years with Deshaun Watson being an unmitigated disaster and the trade itself becoming, in 3 years' time, and it's hard to fail this big in this short of time, the worst trade in NFL history.
Yeah. And that's a lot. You have to put the proper context on it, too, because calling it anything but the worst trade in NFL history is just not doing it enough justice.
But that's a lot of whiteout.
Yeah.
That's a lot of, hey, that's a mulligan. All right? Like, that's how you golf with me. Like
unlimited mulligans, yeah. Breakfast balls everywhere.
You got a breakfast ball a hole. That's what these guys are getting.
I like to tell people I play with, just take as many as you want to get out there. I don't really care.
But you secretly judge them?
Not at all. No, I only care about my game on the course. Okay. As long as you play fast, I do not care.
I couldn't tell because when you, me, Dustin and his wife golf together,
yeah.
I got massive judgment from Dustin for not being any good at golf. And the fact that I'm a hillbilly at a country club, not just because I'm a hillbilly.
No, you did everything
general.
Right. You played fast. That's all I ever care about.
But maybe I'm conflating in my head that his judgment was your judgment.
The only time I felt like you thought I was judging you is you hit a really nice shot and you put a nice draw on it. And it was maybe like 175 yards or so, and it just a couple yards short of the green. But it was a really nice from behind trees, nice like just a draw that swung out there and came back. And I might have, in complimenting you and saying how nice I thought of a shot it was, I think you might have gotten salted that I was like, oh wow, you did that. But I was very impressed. It was a really good shot.
I've forgiven you.
But you play fast. That's all we care about.
Everybody knows Nick Wilson is fast. Now, I just think like at what point, and I actually think Ken kind of rebutted this with Mary Kay, like, oh, so we can't judge them off wins and losses
so
again?
Ken's point is something I believe for a while, and I like that Ken was adamant about it today, because it's like at some point we do get to judge you off wins, and if not, what is this all for? Why are we so hard to just give these guys a pass and then just bypass the win-loss record?
Especially this year. And this is where we carry it forward. So you got to pass this last year. For 3-14.
Let's start where it really started. You got a pass with the Baker shoulder injury.
Yep.
You got a pass for that season.
You got a pass for Baker then going elsewhere and looking better than he ever looked here.
Then you get a pass for the very first season because Deshaun didn't get to play until week 12.
Yep.
Because he was suspended for the first 11 games. Then you get a pass for the next year because Deshaun gets injured.
And because Joe bailed you out.
And Joe bailed you out, exactly right. And then last year, I don't know why you get a pass. That's the confusing one. At least I can justify the other one somewhat. But apparently you get a pass for that too.
So I understand, all right, pass, blood on all of our hands, okay. I don't understand that going forward this year. And I think that's what I struggle with. Because if you get, if so,
well,
if
so
you
isn't,
follow,
isn't pass just another way to say excuse? Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we're doing? Pass is saying excuse.
Some iteration of it, yeah.
So if we're gonna do pass, we're gonna do excuse. I just wonder if this upcoming year, and this is where Haslam would be thinking. And I don't trust him at all. But like maybe his logic is, you're dealt 2-7 offsuit. You're dealt such a crappy hand as far as the quarterbacks are concerned. We can't possibly expect anything from you. So we're before it even gets started, giving you the pass.
So and I think that's I don't think you should, because not all 3-14 or 6-10, 6-11 seasons look the same. Kevin Stefanski has to keep the locker room in consecutive potential 3-14 seasons. That's really hard.
It's going to be impossible.
I don't believe that Kevin has the same support coming out of last year that he does go into this season. It's human. There's 53 dudes, actually right now, there's 90 dudes in that locker room. And a lot of guys who aren't just happy being highly paid to be in the NFL, guys want to win.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you are a leader of men, which again, Kevin is a lot of things. He's not a leader of men. It's not his skill set. It's apparent because Bill Callahan did a lot of the leading in offensive meeting rooms, if you believe the way things were set up here previously. And Jim Schwartz is the defensive head coach for a reason. So to me, yeah, I need Kevin to show me that he can keep this locker room together, whether they're 3-14 or, you know, 13-4. And by the way, it'd be 3-14 and then 14-3. Math is hard for me. But same thing with Barry. Yeah, I like Mason Graham in the pre-draft process. I need Mason to look really good.
Oh, so Barry doesn't get the same excuse, pass, whatever you want to call it, as Stefanski would, right? If you want to, and we don't, but obviously if we think Haslam is saying the quarterback situation stinks, you got no chance to win anyway, here's your pass. Barry gets judged off these first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first draft in a while where Barry's had the full treasure chest to be able to pick and make his selections. And yeah, it's early to judge him off these rookie class, but like you get to judge him off this rookie class and the amount of picks that he got to take and the swings he got to take.
And you need Elijah McGuire. You need guys like that. You need MJ Emerson to have a bounce back year. You need DeJuan Jones to kill it at the left tackle. If a Zach Zinter played this year, you do need to see, because this whole season is, hey, we got the veterans back. It's mostly the same team. We just need young guys to step up. As much as I think it's equally on Stefanski and Barry, you will go, if guys play and they don't play well, you are going to go to Andrew Barry and just assume it's him because that's the guy that drafted him. Mm-hmm. So I guess the point is, no, they shouldn't get a pass going forward. If you go 6-28, over from last year to this year, I don't care what the quarterback room was. I don't care that the Deshaun trade didn't work out. 6-28 is unacceptable. You have to actively stink to be that bad. Honestly, even winning 6 games this year, no matter how bad the roster is, how bad the state is still the devil will be in the details. But this idea of just because Jimmy Haslam said 3 months ago, hey, candidly, all of us, my bad, our bad, doesn't mean that should be some sort of halo going forward. The passes already been given. In the NFL, you only get so many passes, and the only, by the way, those should be tied to wins and losses. Mike Tomlin should get a hell of a lot of leeway for what he's done because of the regular season success. Kevin Stefanski doesn't have that. They got 2 winning seasons, and they got 1 playoff win in going on 6 years. Back-to-back 3-14 seasons, when it's your roster that you put together, says nobody deserves a damn pass from
it's
that.
Just not enough. And again, maybe Haslam believed it when he said it back in March, but there'll be no way he'll look at the end of the season and think to himself, a 3-win, 4-win, 5-win season is acceptable.
216-474-0092. So Mary Kay Cabot was talking about the pass extended by Jimmy Haslam to Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry. I think we can then throw it to you guys. Does the pass only include last year, meaning the failure of the Deshaun contract, the failure of last year's team at 3-14, the failure to draft well enough, the failure to correctly predict that Baker was maybe limited as a quarterback when he's been pretty darn good the last 2 years, better than he was in Cleveland, or do they get another pass this year? Does Stefanski and Barry get another pass no matter what happens on the field? And where there is who will win, and then there is who all has the best chance to? Those are actually 2 different questions. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Cody Benjamin of CBS put this together. Andy, this is going to annoy the bejeebers out of you. I'm just telling you right now.
Okay.
His headline, Browns may keep four quarterbacks in 2025.
And let me guess, they ripped off Mary Kay's story too. Who was it? Who wrote this story?
Cody Benjamin.
Oh, Cody Benjamin. Was he right for?
But then it has a colon, and it's CBS Sports. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
And then it says, building the perfect starter using best skills of each Cleveland option.
Is this a real story, or is this a story where they write the story based on somebody else's story?
This is a real story.
Okay, good. I'm sorry, Cody. I'm not trying to rip you. There's
too late.
It's too hard now when you try to read a story. I can't tell you how many times I get caught by a headline to go read the story to say, so-and-so said, Mary Kay Cabot says this.
Then let me just that's go their click entire on Mary story. Kay's story.
Yeah, why wouldn't I just do that?
That's exactly the way to do it. Well done there. So
is it kind of like the
what does Cody
newspaper
do?
Version of sampling? Is that what
it's
that
aggregating.
Is?
It's aggregating. It's a whole business in itself. That's just called aggregating.
Yeah.
Where I take someone else's information that they had somewhere and write it up for someone else and usually and don't put it behind a paywall.
And give them credit.
Give them credit.
Yeah.
And don't put it behind a paywall.
And it's my content, even though it's his or hers. So Cody Benjamin wrote this. And what did he do? He looked at each quarterback and picked their best attributes.
Okay.
I want yay or nay. Just okay. If any, I think he's pretty accurate. But I think it's interesting. And if something jumps out at you, yell. Joe Flacco, age 40. 18th season. Best attributes, experience, and arm strength. Joe can still fling it, as far as we all know.
Does experience mean brain?
You'd have to ask Cody.
I think so.
18 seasons, I'd say that's experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been in the NFL almost as long as Dylan Gabriel, almost as long as Shador's been alive. So that's experience, is it not?
Fair enough.
So those are two nice things. Kenny Pickett, best attributes. He's 27 years old.
Okay.
Mobility. Kenny can move a little bit. That's true.
All right.
And I like this one. I've never actually heard this before. You ready?
Okay.
Situational grit. Situational grit.
You know, put a little maple syrup on that situational grit. Tastes really good. Right after you open. And then when you put the package back together, you put the gum band around it.
He did say this. Just 3 years ago, Pickett tabbed to be the long-term successor for Ben, only to be saddled with iffy protection, iffy weapons, and an even iffier, if you're coaching from a short-lived offensive coordinator. And poor Matt Canada just keeps getting nailed. So there you go.
Mobility. I guess the buck doesn't ever stop with the head coach, does it?
And situational grit.
So if you fire an assistant coach while the head coach is still there, all the blame goes on the assistant every time. Is that right?
Of course.
That's why you get rid of him.
Just making sure.
You know this.
Where's Ken Dorsey
now?
Been
around long enough.
Amen.
Dallas.
Amen. Yeah.
Right? Where's Ken Dorsey?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to see what he said about Dylan Gabriel.
What he said about Dylan Gabriel, who's 24. Best attributes, vision.
Say height.
And short area accuracy.
He called him short?
Short area accuracy.
Oh, now I get it. Okay.
Legitimate questions about whether his ability to read the field or push the ball deep will translate to the pro stage, considering his physical limitations.
So he said short?
No, physical limitations.
Mm.
Yet he drew rave reviews coming out of college for his crisp timing and touch on shorter range throws.
I hope that when he does get the opportunity to start, we don't ever even think twice about his height and we'll just let it go.
Crisp is one of my favorite words used to describe anything in sports. We ran a crisp practice.
So that would mean that Coco was your favorite baseball player?
I don't get it. I've never. Every time I hear crisp used to describe anything in sports, I chuckle. He also says about Gabriel, kind of fundamentally sound aerial work could appeal to Coach Kevin Stefanski.
I buy that.
Yeah, I do too.
I buy that.
See, that's where I think Dylan Gabriel has an edge. A, young. B, if he's Kevin's kind of guy, and you would think he is more than Shador because he was drafted two rounds earlier. Shador Sanders, best attributes at the age of 23. Composure.
Okay.
And downfield touch.
Well, he had plenty of opportunity to become an expert at that at Colorado, right?
Well, you would think. Composure, he's had to deal with being Deion's son and being in the spotlight for a long time.
Yeah.
And he looks composed on the football field.
He does.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's had to scramble so much in college that...
He says that Shadur showed the NFL-level poise as a more of an old-school pocket passer.
Hmm.
So combine all four guys' best attributes, Andy, and you got a heck of a quarterback. I mean, you got a guy with experience and arm strength and mobility and situational grit and vision and short area accuracy and composure and downfield touch. Sign me up for one of those.
Oh, you got one of four shot.
So next, do we open up Cosmo and build the perfect boyfriend?
You're still reading Cosmo?
Just felt like that's what we just went through right there.
While you're getting hair done?
Yeah. The sad thing is they do not allow you to remove certain aspects from human beings and build a Frankenstein monster that would solve it.
Difficult to do.
Frankenstein.
Good point. Yeah. Find me Igor.
Thank you for playing along.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'm here.
We know we talk about this quarterback thing a lot. It's fascinating. Andy, I can't wait to see it play out in training camp. I mean, I don't want summer to fly by.
We are the most interesting training camp in the NFL.
Man,
That's worth.
I don't think there's any question.
And all the games are on NFL Network for preseason.
Any question.
They have more hype for the preseason than most teams have for the regular season. And because you know the Browns play at 1 o'clock on Sunday, you can bank on it all season long.
I would bet you.
And Jeff loves it.
You're dang right, I do. I know somebody else who does, too.
All of their national exposure. Can you guys forget about your jobs for 2 seconds and realize that fans sometimes enjoy watching their team play on Sunday night?
No, you know why I like 1 o'clock?
Or Thursday night.
Warm dinner.
You know why
I like 1 o'clock games?
You're blessed to be able to work around a football game in the NFL, and you can't think about the fans.
I'm not kidding about the fans?
You also get warm dinner.
You get up, you have breakfast. You watch some pregame stuff. You hop in the car.
Oh, you don't listen to
drive. You drive to work listening to Andy Baskin and Tyvus Powell on the pregame show.
There you go.
You walk into the building, grab your lunch if you need it, sit down, boom, watch football.
You saved yourself, man. I'm just telling you. What are we going to have to be on the air at, like, I don't know, 4 a.m. for the pregame show in London?
Good luck to you on that.
I'm feeling it.
We're going to have to ask the powers to be.
Guardians. Why even go to bed the night before?
That used to be when people would be like, hey, let's go watch the sunrise. That was typically my solution.
Ladies and gentlemen,
when you have nothing else to do and sleep all day.
Cleveland Guardians scored 3 runs yesterday. You score 3 runs, you get a win. Why did that happen? Maybe because the Guardians have done it again.
What?
Maybe they've done it again. Next on Baskin and Phelps.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.